Welcome to The Weekly, a look back at WHQR's top stories of the past 7 days. It's Saturday, December 12th. I'm your host, Caitlin Freund. A modified stay-at-home order went into effect on Friday night in North Carolina in hopes to curb the dangerous spread of COVID. Here's WHQR's Rachel Lewis-Hilburn with the details.
The recent COVID-19 spike in North Carolina has state officials using words such as dire, alarming, shocking, life and death, and upon us with a rapid viciousness. Now 80% of counties in the state are coded orange and red. Brunswick County has moved into the orange zone with substantial community spread. New Hanover County remains yellow at a significant level of spread. It was less than a month ago that the state hit a new record high daily case count, crossing the 3,000 mark. But now the state is seeing that record doubled, with more than 6,000 cases in a single day, twice in the past week. That's why a new executive order imposes another stay-at-home restriction starting this Friday. According to Governor Roy Cooper, it's a modified version.
This order will require people to stay at home between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. Businesses, including restaurants, bars, entertainment venues, personal care businesses, and most retail stores and more, will be required to close by 10 p.m. In addition, all on-site alcohol consumption sales must end by 9 p.m.
Cooper says he doesn't want to shut down indoor restaurant dining, as these businesses are already struggling, but he says he will do more if trends do not improve. Vaccines won't have a major impact in the near future on slowing the spread of the virus, says Cooper, since protection requires two doses. The first vaccine recipients likely won't be fully immunized until next year. The modified stay-at-home order is in effect until January 8th. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, WHQR News.
There are some exceptions in Executive Order 181, including going out for groceries, medicines, and fuel. And as COVID-19 rates continue to rise, New Hanover Regional Medical Center is preparing for a post-holiday surge. WHQR's Rachel Keith has more.
New Hanover Regional Medical Center is getting closer to limiting less urgent procedures. In part, the decision depends on whether or not the hospital hits an average of 50 COVID-19 patients. The current number is about 49 people hospitalized with the virus. That's according to Dr. West Paul, the chief clinical officer at NHRMC.
We have not seen the Thanksgiving spike yet. We usually expect that 2 to 3 to maybe even 4 weeks past the holiday. So we're concerned that we've already started seeing this increase. We really haven't hit winter, and we haven't even hit Christmas yet.
And they're already preparing for these patients to arrive.
We actually have an entire wing that is just COVID patients, or an entire floor. We have another floor that is partially. This is not anything that we're comfortable with. We are under strain right now.
An average stay is about 2 to 3 weeks, and Paul says the treatments available have gotten much better, but he says they still have mortalities. According to the Department of Health and Human Services MAP alert system, which shows the severity of the virus's spread, New Hanover County seems to be doing better than neighboring counties. But Paul says read that map with caution.
I think sometimes it's a little bit of a false sense of security. We are a regional medical center, so when other counties are red, we still have patients that do come from there.
Paul says we're all tired, but that
it's time to double down on what we're doing. I mean, we're just talking about masking, washing hands, and social distancing. We really have to be hyper-vigilant about doing this, because we have not gone through a winter with COVID before. We were right at the tail end of the winter when it started, so we are all concerned about what this may look like.
For the hospital, that might look like a decreased stockpile of supplies and added strain on personnel. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
Last week, the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners held its final meeting of the year. After swearing in new members and a brief discussion of financing issues, Board Chair Julia Olson-Bozeman ended the meeting with a two-part address to the county's school system, offering over $2 million in bonuses to school employees, while also pushing the district to consider reopening elementary schools for full-time in-person instruction. Here's WHQR's Ben Shockman with the story.
This week, the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners weighed in on the debate over how and when to reopen the county's schools. The decision is ultimately up to the Board of Education. Still, commissioners are pushing hard while also offering financial support to school employees. Board of Commissioners Chair Julia Olson-Bozeman is asking the school board to open elementary schools next semester. Olson-Bozeman says she wants to see full-time, in-person instruction for pre-K through 5th grade by January 11th, the beginning of the spring semester.
Students need to be in school, and the data supports that. National reports have shown that we are doing more damage than good by keeping kids out of school, and the CDC has reported that COVID-19 is not spreading at high levels inside schools, and that is what we are seeing locally as well.
Commissioners are also offering financial support. The board unanimously approved $2.4 million in funding that will provide bonuses for all school employees payable before Christmas. The school board also has plans to provide funding, supporting payments of up to $1,500 for over 3,000 school employees. Commissioners acknowledge that reopening is a hotly debated issue. However, they've cited mounting evidence that distance learning has resulted in falling grades. They say it is also worsening achievement gaps for lower-income and minority students. Commissioner Bill Rivenbark, a former school board member, points to the district's virtual option for parents concerned about reopening.
If there are parents that don't want to bring their kids back to school, they can go to the virtual academy. Mm-hmm. They don't have to come back to school. They don't have to. So I don't want it to look like we're sending them to a prison camp.
A mid-September executive order from Governor Roy Cooper authorizes school districts to reopen elementary schools. However, Superintendent Dr. Charles Faust has pushed back against rushing a return to in-class instruction. Faust has said he would need support from health officials before fully reopening. The New Hanover County Board of Education will take up the issue on Tuesday. Ben Shockman, WHQR.
On Tuesday evening, the New Hanover County Board of Education swore in 4 new members. The new board faces some of the toughest issues ever seen in the district, including legal fallout from years of sexual abuse of students, both alleged and admitted, as well as the debate over how and when to fully reopen schools. Ben Shockman has more details on those issues at whqr.org. You're listening to The Weekly from WHQR Public Media. The Cape Fear region's 5-year transportation plan is now official, and it offers a vision of where we're headed over the next 25 years. As Rachel Keith reports, the document determines which projects get funded and which ones don't.
It's called Cape Fear Moving Forward 2045, and it outlines projects for 6 modes of transportation: aviation, bicycle, pedestrian, ferry, freight rail, public transit, and roadways. Mike Koslowski is the executive director for the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization, or WMPO. He says citizens can consult the plan to see a list of prioritized transit improvements.
Say I live on Masonboro Loop Road, I can go to this plan and look and see, is there anticipation that I'll see some type of bicycle and pedestrian improvement constructed in my area within the next 25 years?
In the plan, projects are listed in a table with the rank, name, planning year, and cost. For example, at the top of the roadway list, it's the Hampstead Bypass for 2025, with a price tag close to $205.5 million. Most of the WMPO's funding comes from the State Transportation Improvement Program, which is a combination of federal and state funds. There's also local funding, but it pales in comparison. Abby Lorenzo, deputy director of the WMPO, says the state's Department of Transportation has a $7 billion budget gap, and when the plan was written, this wasn't taken into account.
Because the plan development process takes so long, a lot of these elements were essentially finalized prior to NCDOT's financial shortfalls. However, we update this plan every 5 years.
Pat Battleman is a member of the Leland Town Council, and she's been on the WMPO board for 9 years.
But whether or not the things that we've listed will indeed get done by the dates that they claim that they're going to be scheduled to begin, I don't know. It's a crapshoot unless we get more money.
Within Cape Fear Moving Forward, there's a section exploring other sources of funding like a quarter-cent local sales tax increase. But the issue remains, how can the region fund what needs to be done now? Councillor Battleman.
And we really need them yesterday. It's getting pretty hairy trying to keep up with the demands of the tremendous growth that we have. So it's a very big concern, and it's one that we know we're going to have to address with coming up with other means of subsidizing transportation infrastructure.
Laura Padgett served as chair of the Cape Fear Moving Forward Citizen Advisory Committee. She's also served on Wilmington City Council for 20 years.
I think it's easier to get public approval for those funding methods than elected officials think it is. Those types of requests for quarter cent sales tax or half a cent sales tax or more across the country have actually passed in larger numbers than they've failed. I wish that the region and the state and the country could begin to think out of the box on exactly how we need to move people. How can we bring access and mobility to both individuals and groups and families of people? How are we going to get people where they need to go efficiently and not ruin our environment at the same time?
The WMPO took about 3 years to finish the Cape Fear Moving Forward 2045 plan, but despite just finalizing this one, they soon began work on 2050. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
Tensions between the UNCW Chancellor and the greater UNCW community have been boiling for months now. This week, things came to a head as the Faculty Senate voted on a motion to censure Chancellor Sardarelli. The vote of censure is about as far as faculty can go in publicly expressing their frustration with Sardarelli. From here, it's up to the UNC System Board of Governors to respond if they choose to do so. For more on how the vote went down, check out the story on WHQR.org. The university also recently settled a federal discrimination lawsuit with an employee in the admissions department. While both UNCW and the employee are putting the legal battle behind them, the underlying issues remain a challenge. Ben Schachman has a complete report on the lawsuit online at WHQR.org. On Coastline this week, Rachel Lewis Hilburn got to know the first female coach of a North Carolina high school men's basketball team. Sheila Bowles also beat breast cancer twice and lived to see a local high school gym named after her. Find out more about this woman's life of firsts on WHQR.org. On this week's episode of Around Town with Rhonda Bellamy, Rhonda spoke with abstract artist Dick Roberts of Acme Studios and Amy Grant of Art in Bloom Gallery, who speak about the collaborative exhibition Tributaries of Abstraction, on view through January 29, 2021. You can hear that full interview at WHQR.org. And that's what's happening in the Cape Fear region. As always, you can listen to our continued news coverage at 91.3 FM. Visit our website or stream us online anytime at WHQR.org. For WHQR News, I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly.